looking and leading. Coming out of the excitement of the glorious Easter season, some of us may be asking, what's next? What can top this wonderful celebration of Jesus' resurrection? Perhaps we're even thinking, he's given so much, what can I give back in return? If that's what you're thinking, this devotional is for you, for this is the very place that Scripture takes us. The disciples had gone through the agony of their Savior's crucifixion, all except John, fearfully hiding from their enemies. Then amazingly, they'd learned from a breathless Mary Magdalene that Jesus was alive. That very evening, Jesus appeared to his disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." But with that prayer came the command, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the power to come. For 40 days, Jesus walked amongst them, instructing them on the kingdom of God, promising them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who would empower them to witness to the ends of the earth. Then in a tumult of emotion, they watched as their beloved master ascended into heaven, straining to see him as the clouds covered him. They didn't want him to go. They weren't ready. They had so much more to learn. After all, he was their leader, not them. They'd followed, observed, helped, even witnessed, but always under his careful, watchful eye, while receiving face-to-face instruction on what to do next. How could they do this without him? They couldn't, of course, and that's why we read in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now they were ready. And they burst forth from that upper room to tell everyone the wonderful news God had done. What does all this mean for us today? We too have just walked through the excitement of Easter, but what's next for us? Is it just another ho-hum year without any noticeable excitement until we celebrate the Lord's birth at Christmas? I would argue no. This is when we get our work boots on and get busy. But you may be thinking, I haven't had my Pentecost. No flames of fire have rested on me. My tongue still stumbles over words, and no one wants to listen to what I have to say anyway. Ah, beloved, this is where we take a step back and realize the spiritual process we have to go through before we can burst forth. Let's see how our leaders in the New and Old Testament did it. We'll start with Peter. He's always a great example of growth. We catch him back when he was bouncing on the waves in his fishing boat. Undoubtedly, he'd heard about Jesus, heard of his teaching, healing, preaching. Then one day, Peter went to his fishing boat and discovered Jesus standing on the shore preaching to great crowds of people. Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. He was tired and discouraged, and here was this massive crowd of people standing on the shore listening to this Jesus. He looked over at the man, and what should he see him do but step into his boat? What? He listened as Jesus asked him to push the boat out into the water so he could speak more easily to the crowd. Peter, who was a captive audience, listening to every word Jesus said about the good news of the kingdom of God. Something began to stir within him, but he wasn't ready yet for anything deeper. Then Jesus finished and told Peter to row his boat out into deeper waters and let down his nets to catch some fish. Peter looked at him amazed. He just fished all night without a single fish swimming into his net. It was no daytime. It was not the time to fish. Yet, resigned and probably a bit curious, Peter obeyed and let down his nets again. Immediately, the water frothed as fish flapped about trying to escape the net. There were so many, the nets began to tear, and he had to call his friends to help him. Still, there were so many fish, the boats were on the verge of sinking. Peter, his heart struck with the enormity of what had just happened, fell to his knees, crying out, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I am a sinful man." But Jesus knew the future he had for Peter. He could already see Pentecost and the message an exuberant Peter would give to the crowd. His shout, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thus, Jesus replied to the repentant Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." What had Peter done so far? He stopped and looked at what Jesus was doing. He listened to what he was saying, and then he leaned on the Lord for salvation, obeying him when he called, "Come, follow me." Over the next 36 months, Peter looked, listened, leaned, and learned from the Lord. He watched as Jesus healed the sick of every kind of illness, looked as demoniacs were cured, the blind recovering their sight, the deaf their hearing, the lame the ability to walk. He listened as Jesus spoke the blessings of the Beatitudes on the Sermon of the Mount, listened as Jesus taught on forgiveness, faith, love, generosity, prayer, and money, heard the numerous parables such as the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. He leaned on the Lord when in trembling faith he stepped out of the boat. In fear, he began to sink, only to be lifted out of the waves and set safely in the boat, rescued once again. He leaned on the Lord at the Mount of Transfiguration when he beheld a sight so marvelous, words just tumbled out of him. And again, when the temple tax collectors demanded payment and the Lord directed him to fish once more, only discover in its mouth a large silver coin, which would pay the tax for both of them. Then all that he had learned from the Master over those many months together came into sharp focus when he stood on the seashore, his belly full from the meal of fish and bread provided by the resurrected Savior. He listened as Jesus said to him, "Simon, do you love me?" He heard the question repeated three times to cover the three exclamations of denial Peter had uttered around the campfire. This encounter enabled him to look into the eyes of a compassionate Messiah, listen as he spoke the words of reconciliation and recovery, lean on him for forgiveness and restoration, and learn once more that his calling was still in God's plan. Follow me. It was then that Peter was ready to truly lead. Thus, when the flames of fire melted away the dross of sin and fear and stoked them with the fire of evangelism, Peter was the first to run out the door and shout to the startled crowd the good news of the kingdom of God. A message he preached for the next 33 years, all while setting the new church on a firm foundation, teaching, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead. The reward for trusting Jesus will be the salvation of your souls. So live as God's obedient children, for your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God." If we wonder what to do following Easter, study the life of Peter. Look for the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. Lean on him when life is hard. Learn from him all that he teaches you, and then go forth and lead others to him, and that they too will know the Savior who died and rose again to bring eternal life to all who call upon his name. And so, beloved, I appeal to you, look, listen, lean, learn, and then you can lead. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.